Easy Sports Talk Show podcast with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. My name is Javon Adams. You can call me Jay or Jay Love. And with me is the one and only Ed Smith. Not only did he play professional baseball, but he also played in the National Football League on that first Super Bowl bound team for the Atlanta Falcons. What is good, my brother?
Happy Friday. Happy fun day Friday, bro. We got another one in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So got a cool show lined up for you. You might have some jokes in this one, but want to get it started off with the NBA play-in, because today as we record this, of course, we do this Monday, Wednesday, Friday as we record this. It is Friday. So the NBA play-in, and then your thoughts on this first round of action. And it's funny because the second round, second and third rounds, I believe that's when we get into that every other day. But this first round, man, this first round goes for about 2 weeks or so, man. It just seems to dry out so long. But having said that, we have the, as I pull it up here, just had it. So in the Western Conference, we got the Kings and the Pelicans. What you think on this one? Because and with the Pelicans, Zion won't be playing, so he's going to be out. I feel for my brother, but I think the Sacramento Kings are probably going to get him, because I think Ingram is still getting used to, still trying to come back. And McCollum, I think you mentioned this on Wednesday, that he's, you know, there's something still off about his performance too. But I think that the Kings might be, I guess, as they like to say, light the beam.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for the Pelicans. You know, you finally get a full dose of Zion, and then in that game against L.A., he was showing us exactly what, you know, I guess everybody was hoping to see all along. You know, after playing 70-plus games in the season, he's out there putting it on LeBron and AD. 40 in the game, 40-plus, and then just something so insignificant, it seemed. That, you know, little jumper, mid-range jumper, he hits it, lands, turns around, frustrated, and come to find out he popped a hamstring. He's going to be out for at least a couple weeks. Yeah. And part of me will ask, because we've also seen Jimmy Butler go down over on the other side. Yeah. These players, think about it, Jay, for the last bunch of weeks, they've been cruising through the regular season. And, like, on, like just straight, just, like, not given, you know, the defensive effort. Some of the things we saw were just, I mean, they were just playing it out, playing the string out for the most part, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Then you get to the playoffs where you have to ramp it up again. It's almost like, you remember, like, when we deal with the preseason of the NFL nowadays, and then they get into that first week or two of the season, and you see a lot of the soft tissue injuries. And yeah. I wonder a little bit if these guys been cruising too much, then all of a sudden you get out there and you go, 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 and then them hamstrings and stuff aren't used to this tension, and pop, there they go. So that's something to keep an eye on.
I hear you there, but here's where the thing. If they were just two of the healthiest dudes in the world, I might buy into that. But we know Butler going to get, at some point in time, Jimmy Butler going to get injured. That's just how Jimmy Butler rolls. I mean, he's a tough guy. I mean, he tries to battle through it. You can tell when you can tell his performance suffers, even though he's trying to push through some of these things. And then the opposite side is we had up until, well, we have Zion, whereas he's had those issues, the challenges where, you know, he's injured, his weight fluctuates, all that type of stuff. And so I think those two guys are more prone to injuries than maybe somebody else. What do you think?
True. I mean, you know, for me, with Zion, yeah, he's always an accident waiting to happen. And I just wonder why at this point in time, when he had made it all the way through the regular season for the first time ever, and maybe, like I said, it was just he finally had to go, 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 and it just, you know, and it was something he skated through all regular season, which the intensity wasn't there. I mean, you know, regular season game in Sacramento on Tuesday in January, nobody's going. I told you the other day, you could tell the intensity picked up. It was playoff basketball, and I've given you my parallel when I was playing in the NFL, how from regular season it jumped up a notch to the postseason. Even, you know, so we'll see. Like I said, either way, I don't think the Pelicans can rebound from this. It's too quick a turnaround. You got to do it without what I would say was your best player out there the other night, McCollum. I don't know if he can, you know, bring it. And their whole roster, I think they were so dependent on Zion in that instance. And Sacramento, I think they're you know, no, yeah. Who are they playing? Yeah, they play Sacramento. Yeah, yep. Sacramento. So, I think it's just going to be. I think they're going to have, and they're dealing with their own injuries as well. But I do see them getting this one and getting that final spot into the playoffs, and you know, be early. The question now becomes, what is New Orleans going to do moving forward? You know, because it's been shown that, you know, with this instance, you've gone through the missing Zion for an entire season, yeah. And then, you know, he's not available. And then you finally get him available for a whole season. And just like that, in the playoffs, he's gone. So he's always an injury waiting to happen, it seems, whether it's early in the year or late in the year.
If I was Zion, I would be the dude. I wouldn't say nothing in the offseason. And I would come back to show up. It's a thing about back in the day, summer vacation, you don't see your partners or you don't see nobody. Then all of a sudden you come back to school and you say, ooh, what's up with so-and-so over there? She looking right. Oh, my gosh. What is she doing over the summer, right? Or the same with one of your partners. You say, man, you was over here running. You was in the gym. Dang, dog.
You know what he could do, Jay? Come back
solid as heck and wouldn't say not a doggone thing.
What he could do. And if I'm his age and I'm like, look, Zion, let's drop about 15 to 20. And every single day you're doing yoga and stretching. Ooh. Think about it. If he lost a bunch of pounds, but then it's not just about losing the pounds. It's about getting the muscles that you do have more flexible and pliable. Man, he should be doing hot yoga and Pilates and all that kind of stuff every single day. And getting, you know, more and more flexible. And like I said, that could take away from some of these injuries, you know. So, but I would advise them.
I put in an envelope what my goals were and put it in and let everybody know what my goals were and put it on a, you know, put it somewhere where everybody can see it's this envelope, right? And in there I would put NBA first team, MVP. So, because that's my focus, I'm trying to show everybody, improve to myself before anybody else. Because if you're worried about proving everything to everybody else, then you're always going to be at a loss or at a deficit. But yeah, I would come back just a man possessed, almost like Jordan when he lost to Orlando when he came back that next year and said, "Nah, dog, I was putting in the work to get back to my form to be able to do what I know I can do."
At the top of the list would be stay healthy, regular season and postseason. That'd be at the top of the list.
Yeah. Get some of that, do some cupping or some acupuncture.
Yeah. I'm down there in a little bit, man.
Oh, man. And so we go to the Eastern Conference. We got the Bulls and the Heat. So the Bulls and the Heat are going to be vying for to see who takes on the Celtics. So we're talking about the Heat. Jimmy Butler is... He's not, I don't believe he's going to be in the game though. But what do you think on this? To be honest, I don't even care, dog, when it comes to these two.
Right.
I was looking at it and I was trying to, because I care a little bit more. Because Sacramento, I think Sacramento is an exciting team. I mean, they like to throw up so many threes, but they're an exciting team. But I was looking, I guess the Bulls are all right, but still, I really don't care.
Both teams with a losing record, and I'm thinking to myself, you were getting ready to start bringing this one up, and I was first thing come to my mind, if a tree falls in the wood, who gives a damn?
It's like, man,
whether it makes a sound or not, this is one of those, you know, it's like filler, bro. We just need somebody to go play the Celtics. Hurry up and, you know, so you can say you made the playoffs. Go ahead and the sacrificial lamb. This one is of no consequence at all. I'll be perfectly honest with you. The other night when Bulls, and it was a Bulls Hawks. Yeah. I watched 76ers Heat. Good game, down to the wire. As soon as that one was over, I was like, okay, what else is on TV? I was flipping around trying to find something else. There was no way I was watching that Bulls Hawk. Just like I'm not watching Bulls Heat, not doing it.
Yeah, I hear you.
But so like you said, somebody's got to win it. So let's just hurry up and get to the end of the game so we can find out who the Celtics are playing.
All right, so let's go through in terms of what could be the first round matchups. Well, first round matchups, the only ones that are undecided are the one A because of the tonight's play-in games. But let's go through, and then I got an interesting topic about references. But okay, so we got the OKC and whoever they take on in terms of whether it's the Kings or the Pelicans. I got OKC. OKC, it's special. You know what? If they play the Kings, I think the Kings might get him. Here's why. There's a lot of pressure that comes with being the number one seed. And if you're a young team and this is the first time you're going through that, you're the hunted, not the hunter. Yeah, that might be a little bit something different. And the Kings have a little bit of experience in terms of in the playoffs. So I might go for an upset in that first round.
The Thunder, a little bit ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're playing with some ignorance as well. They don't know what they don't know yet. So yeah. I just because of what they did during the regular season, I will say the worst opponent you might get is Sacramento, because Sacramento is just as young as them. Not as young, but close to it. So yeah, it wouldn't be like one of those old veteran teams coming in there. This will be young against young. And as you mentioned, Sacramento has a little experience from last year. But here's the thing. Sad to say, I have not watched a lot of Thunder basketball this year. OKC Thunder basketball. As you know, you'd think number one seed, exciting, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
He's good. He cooks, though.
They weren't on my radar. So I'm shooting blind here, and I'm assuming that, let's say, the regular season does count for something, I guess, and that number one seed. So because they're in the number one spot, I'm going to say they could hold off Sacramento. Here's where I'll give the caveat. In a long series, normally 1-8 is, you know, a five-game series, six is stretching it. This could be a seven-game series. So we'll see how this one runs out. But I'll give it to OKC just because they have the home court in this one.
Okay, and let's go to the 4-5 matchup. You got the Clippers and the Mavericks. Now, that could be a good one. Typically, when you think about 4-5, that means they're relatively close anyway when you think about just where the seeding lies.
Never trust the Clippers. Trust the Clippers.
Man.
I'm going Mavericks in this one.
Yeah, I probably lean towards Mavericks slightly. This might be a seven game series as well. I think that I'll go with the Mavs on this one too. The Suns and the Suns and the Timberwolves. Now, I'm going to go with Suns, but here's the thing that you tell me, because you've been in the locker rooms, you've been in the clubhouses. When a team has your number, let's say when you've either beaten them X amount of times in a row, three out of times, or within a season, you've beaten them a certain amount of times, or you lose. Does that start to play with your mind, whether you are you've been the conqueror or you've been conquered? Does that start to play with your mind a bit?
It doesn't until you lose the first one. Like, say, so, you know, you're like, hey, what's to say? It's the second season now. All that regular season stuff don't mean nothing. Then you lose the first one, and it's the same verse, same song, different verse, however they say it. And it's like that starts to – That creates doubt. So if you can come out, if you're a Minnesota and you come out and put it on the Suns, it's like I said, regular season, this ain't regular season, this is postseason. But if you go out there and they put it on you, doubt will start to creep in your mind a little bit. Then you just start to think about, wow, we just can't beat these guys. What the heck's going on? And you start to press a little bit. So, you know, we'll see how the first game could tell you a lot in this series.
Okay. So who you got in this one?
I got the Suns as well. I mean, they've underachieved all year. The problem with them is they have not played together enough. And what did I say at the beginning of the year? Let's put the tracker on to see how many games them dudes, and they were in and out all through the year. Out of the 82, I think they were somewhere in the 30s as far as games played together. That's not enough, bro, and not enough cohesiveness. And now they're going to be trying to figure it out in the playoffs. It'll be choppy, but I think they can pull it off against Minnesota. I just don't see them making a long run because, like I said, it just never seemed like it quite just curled to me.
Yeah, it didn't curl quite right. Yeah. Okay. What about the Nuggets and the Lakers? Look, Nuggets, man. Look, I really would love for my Lakers to pull this off, but I'm a realist. I think that it could get ugly real quick. If the Lakers lose the first game, I think it'd get ugly real quick. Because if at least they win one, that'll give them a little sense of confidence to say, yes, we really can do this, guys. And then you start to believe in yourself and all things are possible, at least in your mind.
Yeah, I'm surprised how many people are like, you know, the Lakers, they match up so great against Denver. That's the last team they want to see. I'm like, wait a minute. So a 10th, they're an 8th seed or whatever, 7th seed?
The reason they're saying it is because of the amount of time in between games in the first round. That's the only reason, because it gives LeBron and AD a little bit more time to recoup in between games.
You know what happens, though? For 48 minutes, they got to get out there and do it one day at a time. And I'm picking Denver and them young legs. And, you know, we saw what they did last year. Now, Denver, L.A. might put up a tussle. I said, not going to be easy. But, I mean, I'm not picking L.A. to beat Denver, not in a seven-game series. Get one, get two, but no, you're not beating them four times.
All right, easy sports talk show with Ed Smith and Javon Adams. So let's get to the Eastern Conference. So Eastern Conference, we have the Celtics going up against either the Heat or the Bulls. I got the Celtics, but the Celtics are one of those teams in your periphery, as you've been hearing about the Celtics. They are a jump shooting team. They love to shoot those threes, and they're going to live and die by it. So we'll see as they go on, but they should get this matchup against whoever their number 8 seed opponent is.
They should, but they'll make it tougher on themselves than they have to. Cause that's just, ooh, like you said, they jump shooting team. And on those nights when they get cold, you mess around and let whoever get a game. And instead of a sweep, next year you're playing 5 or 6 games in this series and, you know, just causing yourself more angst, but they'll get it done.
And that starts to play with your mind a bit. So before we get on to the next ones here, because I think what we'll probably end up doing is that conversation about that the second topic. We'll get that Monday. We'll do that.
Yeah.
But does it start? Let's say again. So since you've been in the locker rooms, you've been in the clubhouse. Do the questions that, let's say, if you win a game but you don't win it as easily as you should, and then do the questions by the media about, so what happened there? What happened here? How come you guys, you know, on this road trip, you know, if you're talking about baseball, how come you guys didn't win 5 out of 6 instead of breaking 3 and 3? Do those things start to play in your mind when they're asking about why aren't you as dominant as, why wasn't it easier, as easy as we thought it should be based upon the talent that you have in the clubhouse or the locker room?
If you're thin-skinned, it does. But the bottom line is wins, bro. You're trying to get however many number of wins to get to the finals and then those last 4. So you can start counting them off. And, you know, style counts in, it counts in with the beauty pageants. I mean, that's the only time it counts. I mean, this is, you're supposed to get out there and get some W's, get them, and you know, like I said, just worry about how pretty it looks when you're watching the film later on after the off season.
Okay, so let's go to the 4-5 matchup with the Cavaliers and the Magic. I didn't watch much Cavs or Magic, but I know the Cavs were a decent team this year. We know they made it into the playoffs last year. This one, I probably lean a little more Cavs, but again, that's just that's me throwing a dart at the dartboard in the dark on this one.
Yeah, Magic are ahead of schedule in my opinion as well, like some of these other young teams. And you know, I didn't watch much of either one of these teams, but this is, you talk about evenly matched. I mean, one win separated the two of them through the regular season, and I would, you know, just for you know, kicks and giggles, I would pick the Magic in this one. You know, okay, showing up a little early and having some pieces and going out there and doing it.
All right. So your favorite coach, Doc Rivers, is with the 3-6 matchup with the Bucks and taking on the number 6 Pacers. Now, this is one that when they brought Doc Rivers in, because, again, remember that they fired their coach during the season, even though he had an overwhelming winning record. And they bring in who? They bring in Doc Rivers, and they didn't perform like gangbusters per se in that trade for Damian Lillard. When it happened, we were talking about it. I said, this doesn't necessarily make me stand up and cheer because of this trade. And I don't even think Dame really wants to be there. Remember when he was talking, somebody asked him about who, if you had to pick your all-stars or whatever it was, he didn't even pick Giannis. Yeah.
And you said when they brought, you made a mistake. You said when they brought Doc in, you mean when Doc bought himself in to the position.
True.
Snake in the grass. Yeah, that's, you know, fire a coach that was 30-13, and then you come in and have a losing record with the team, and they show this type of lack of firepower. And then you got to remember, Giannis is out for at least the first game or two or possibly 3 of this series with a calf. And those are tricky, man. You could come think everything is healed and come back, pop that thing again, and be out for a couple weeks. So
ask, wasn't it a calf for Kevin Durant a couple when he was in the finals, right? And he came back and he kept trying to push him and come back, and the Achilles pop.
Yeah.
So this could be one of those, man. Pacers. I'm going to pay just because of that Giannis impact, because otherwise Dame is going to have to do crazy things, and I don't know even if that would be necessarily enough, and especially when you're losing. And Doc, well, it's not to say that Doc can't get you through some playoff rounds, because otherwise when you look at his playoff record, it wouldn't be what it is, but it's those games where it gets a little bit more pressure packed that Doc, even though he has a championship, but when you look at that championship versus other pressure packed series where his teams didn't come out on the positive end of them.
I'm going Bucks, bro, because I don't want my son. I don't want to watch. My God, he is so bad when it comes to watching his teams play. And if they don't do good, and you talk about the pouty mouth and the throwing stuff, and I'm like, look, man, I have to sit there and watch it until a certain point. And I'm like, look, man, I'm not gonna have all that down here. I'm trying to watch this game, you know. So
I've been there.
So I hope, man. Come on, Doc, you can't do me like this. Come on, Bucks.
Oh, man, I feel that. So then let's go with the Knicks and the 76ers. That's the 2-7 matchup. This could be interesting. I'll probably go Knicks because I think Embiid, if you saw that, I go because in that playoff game, play-in game, I should say, he's still trying to come back from injury. So he did really well in that fourth quarter. I think over the course of a 7-game series, he might break down a little bit because he's not 100%, even though nobody's 100% around this time. But I'd probably go Knicks, but I'd probably go six. But I think the Knicks would be victorious.
I think this might be the best matchup in the first, well, definitely on the Eastern side, Eastern Conference. I love what the Knicks did this year. There's one thing you can't teach, though, is size. And even though Embiid doesn't have his win quite yet, and he's trying to get it, you can't teach size, bro. When you talk about your best player is 6 foot and some chains, and our best player is over 7 foot, and, you know, Brunson's going to have to go through these trees to get to the rim. I know he does a pretty good job of it. I just, in a 7-game series where you're going to be seeing each other night after night after night, I got to lean toward the Sixers in this one. Okay. And like I said, in the first game or two, I could change my mind because, you know, like I said, Embiid is the key. If they can get him off, and that dude, he's a unicorn like your boy over there, like the Joker, man. You see these dudes running the floor, bringing the ball up the court, and every now and then they'll hit it, pop it out to Embiid, and he's hitting threes. I'm like, that's just not natural. You're not supposed to be able to do that. So if he comes with it, you got Maxey out there, Tobias. The Knicks are going to be in for a dogfight. I guarantee you, they did not want to see the Sixers at 7. So this is going to be, in my opinion, I'm going to be locked in for each of these, and I'm going to actually pick the Sixers in that one because, like I said, you can't teach size.
Well, that is Ed Smith. We do this thing 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So tell a friend and tell a friend about what we have going on. Go to EZSportsTalk.com, EZSportsTalk.com as well, or however you're listening to it, make sure you subscribe, rate as high as you can. You can also subscribe. I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's at The Easy Sports Talk Show, The Easy Sports Talk Show. And, as we always say around this time, are you kidding?